Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading today is taken again from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, the verses 40 to 45, and these words also form our text. Let us hear the word of God. And there came a leper to him, that is Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. So far the reading of the word of God. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus had dealings with people of many walks and stations in life. He had dealings with both men and women, rich and poor, young and old, powerful and weak. And to everyone he met, he was the same. He was gracious, compassionate, and full of mercy. But one day, Jesus met a leper. Now, in New Testament times, lepers were the lowest of the low. And as we'll see, they were social and religious outcasts. Well, this leper came to Jesus one day and asked him if he would heal him. And Jesus did, reminding us again that there is no one too low or too unworthy for the Lord. He is a Savior for all. Now, with that thought in mind and God's help, let's consider the words of our text under this theme, Jesus cleanses the leper. And we'll consider four thoughts. First of all, the condition he encounters. Secondly, the request he receives. Thirdly, the mercy he bestows. And finally, the obedience he demands. The events of our text took place sometime during our Lord's first tour of Galilee. Jesus had just departed from Capernaum, his home base. And somewhere along the way, we don't know exactly where, he was approached by a leper. A leper is someone who was afflicted with leprosy. Now, in ancient times, leprosy was perhaps the most dreaded disease imaginable. Leprosy is a disease that attacks the nerve endings in the outer extremities of the body, so the fingers and the toes, the arms and the legs. A person with leprosy slowly loses feeling in these parts of the body. Eventually, due to the loss of blood circulation, these parts of the body decay and fall off. And so the person with leprosy literally rots away. Now, though it's only mildly contagious, the law of Moses contains strict and explicit instructions regarding this disease. And you can read about that in Leviticus 13 and 14. And there we read that a person who was suspected of having this disease had to, first of all, be examined by a priest. And if the priest determined that he had leprosy, then he was declared unclean. Now, that was a very serious matter. To be declared unclean meant that one was not permitted to come into the precincts of the tabernacle, and later on the temple. That means the leper could not worship God. He could not bring sacrifices to atone for his sins. He was basically cut off from God. But that's not all. The law of Moses also stipulated that once a leper was declared unclean, he had to tear his clothes, uncover his head, cover up his mouth, and he was to cry, unclean, unclean, wherever he went. And then he was required to pack up his belongings and move outside of the city, the town, or the village where he lived. And there he would remain among other lepers, forever cut off from his family, his friends, and his community, and worst of all, from God himself. It was a very horrible disease. What is more, it was a disease for which there was no cure. The person afflicted with leprosy normally had to live with that condition for the rest of his life, and eventually he would die. Well, such was the condition of the man in our text. He was a leper. In fact, his condition was quite far advanced. Luke, in his gospel, informs us that this man was covered with leprosy. That means he had leprosy all over his body, on his face, on his arms, his hands, his legs, and his feet. He was one mass of ulcers and sores from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He looked loathsome, and he smelled of death and decay. Well, my friends, whether we realize it or not, and whether we want to admit it or not, we too have a terrible disease. And I'm not talking here about leprosy, but I'm talking about something even more terrible. It's a spiritual disease. It's called sin. And there's a close connection between leprosy and sin. And for that reason, leprosy is often regarded in the Scriptures as a type of sin. And that's because, like leprosy, sin results in separation. Separation from God, and even at times from family and friends. Like leprosy, sin is progressive. It begins in the heart, but it spreads to the head, the hands and the feet and the tongue until we are covered with it from head to toe. Like leprosy, sin is always fatal. It merits everlasting damnation of body and soul in hell. The person who sins, the Bible says, must die. Sin is a terrible disease. And what is more, we are all afflicted with it from the moment we are conceived in our mother's womb. We are afflicted with the disease of sin. Now, most people today don't like to admit that. They like to think that there's nothing wrong with them. Well, to be sure, people will say, I'm not perfect, but I'm certainly not sick. And if they are, it's nothing they can't fix themselves, or so they think. All they have to do is perform some good works or some religious rituals, and all will be well with them. Such people are sadly mistaken. The reality is that you and I are sick. We are fatally sick. And so what must we do? Well, we must do as this man did. We must go to Jesus. You see, only Jesus can help us. Only He can cure us. And that brings us to our second point. This man was covered with leprosy from head to toe. And yet, in spite of the seriousness of his condition, this man came to Jesus. He didn't go to the doctor, for they couldn't help him. He didn't try some new and improved medication. That couldn't help him either. He did the only thing possible. He went to Jesus. Why to Jesus? Well, obviously, because this man knew that Jesus was able to help him. Now, how he knew that, we don't know. Perhaps he had witnessed another miracle that our Lord had performed. Maybe he had heard about Jesus' power from others. We don't know, nor does it matter. The fact is, he went to Jesus. In fact, he didn't keep his distance as he was required to do by the law of Moses, but he came right to the place where Jesus was standing. And upon arriving at that place, the man imploring him knelt down in front of him and said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, you'll notice several things about this request. First of all, it was a humble request. Our text says that as he approached Jesus, the leper knelt down before him. And in doing so, this man recognized that he was standing in the presence of one who was far superior to him. And he was also recognizing that he deserved nothing from him. He was an unworthy, hell-deserving sinner who had no right to anything. My friend, is that how you see yourself today? You know, those who come to the Lord as unworthy sinners, He will most certainly receive in mercy. But if we go to Him proud and self-sufficient, thinking that we are worthy in and of ourselves, then the Lord will certainly cast us out. Oh, how we need to take instruction from this poor leper. He came to Jesus and he knelt down before him. The second thing we notice about his request is that it was submissive. And that's evident in what this man says to Jesus. You notice he doesn't ask Jesus to make him clean, although obviously that's what he desired. But he said, "If thou art willing, thou canst make me clean." You see, this man knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was a sovereign king. And he also knew that as a sinner, he could make no claim on him. And therefore, all he could do was to cast himself on the Lord's grace and mercy and submit to his will. And my friends, that's how we must come to Christ as well. Anyone who comes to Christ thinking that he is owed something is coming in the wrong way. The Lord will have nothing whatsoever to do with such a person. What the Lord wants and what he demands is that we come to him humbly, submissively, casting ourselves on his grace and mercy, bowing under his sovereignty. The third thing we noticed about his request is that it proceeded from faith. The man said to Jesus, "Thou canst make me clean." There was no doubt about it. This man believed with all of his heart that Jesus could make him clean. Now that's a remarkable statement. Because here was a man who was full of leprosy. He was covered with this loathsome disease from his head to his toe. Humanly speaking, there was no hope for him at all. He was as good as dead. But he believed that Jesus could heal him. He believed that nothing was impossible for him. Oh, my friend, is that true for you today? Do you believe that nothing is impossible for God? Perhaps you look at yourself and you see your sins and your shortcomings and you see how great they are. And you see how weak your faith is and you realize that your life is not what it ought to be. And you think to yourself, is the Lord able? Is he even willing to save me? Humanly speaking, it's impossible. But faith says, with God, all things are possible. Yes, faith says that if God is able and willing to save a wretch like Judah and Manasseh and Saul of Tarsus, then he is able and willing to save a wretch like me as well. The fourth thing we notice about this request is that it was persistent. Our text says that the leper came beseeching Jesus. The verb here means to implore, to plead, to urge, and to entreat. In the Greek, it appears in the form of a present participle, which describes an ongoing action. So this man was continually beseeching the Lord to help him. And that's what faith does. Faith is persistent. Faith keeps on calling on the Lord and will not take no for an answer. And that's the kind of faith that the Lord will certainly reward. And so this man came to Jesus and he asked him to make him clean. Well, how did Jesus respond to this? That brings us to our third point. After presenting his request to Jesus, we read in our text that Jesus was moved with compassion. Now we catch here a glimpse into what lives in the heart of our Lord. Our Lord is not, as some would suggest, an angry, wrathful judge who's out to get us. Nor is he a stingy miser who only very reluctantly dispenses his grace and mercy to those who need it. No, he is full of compassion. And we read of that compassion many times in the Gospels. In Matthew 9, verse 36, when Jesus saw the multitudes, Matthew says he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And a few chapters later in Matthew 15, verse 32, when Jesus was in the wilderness with his disciples, again we read he had compassion on the multitude because they had been with him for 3 days and had had nothing to eat. And there are many other examples of this. Many times the Gospels speak of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it comes out here as well. seeing this loathsome man covered with leprosy from head to toe, Jesus had compassion on him. And my friends, Jesus still regards sinners in the same way today. No, our Lord is not indifferent to our plight. He cares. That's why He took upon Himself our flesh and blood. That's why He left the glories and the riches of heaven to come to this earth. That's why He suffered and died on the cross. He did this because He cared. Because He was moved with compassion for sinners like you and like me. Jesus had compassion on this leper, but that's not all. Jesus not only felt compassion for this man, He also demonstrated it. Mark says, He put forth His hand and touched him. Now there's something remarkable, even shocking about this. You see, in Jesus' day, no one touched a leper. Certainly no self-respecting Jew touched a leper. It was believed that to touch a leper would put you at great risk of contracting the disease yourself. Now, that's not true, of course. You can only get leprosy after prolonged direct contact. But that's what people back then believed. They believed that by touching a leper, you would become a leper yourself. And even if you didn't, you would become ceremonially unclean. And that meant you would not be permitted to come to the temple and to offer your sacrifices. You were, albeit temporarily, cut off from God. And this is precisely why people in Jesus' day avoided lepers at all costs. In fact, if people in Jesus' day saw a leper coming towards them, they would throw stones at him in order to keep him or her away. But not the Lord Jesus. He not only allowed this leper to come to Him and to kneel before Him, He even reached out His hand and touched him. A man full of leprosy, with the smell of rotting flesh in his nostrils. See, why did Jesus do that? Why did He touch him? He didn't have to do that. He could have healed this man simply by speaking a word, as He did in the case of the centurion's servant. But He didn't do that. Instead, He touched him. Why? Well, He did so to illustrate the work that He came to do. Why did Jesus come to this earth? He came to bear our iniquities. And every healing, including this one, was an illustration of that work. Matthew himself acknowledges this in Matthew 8, verse 17. After observing that Jesus healed many who were sick and possessed with devils, Matthew writes this, that He did this, quote, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now Matthew here is quoting from Isaiah 53, verse 4. There Isaiah writes, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And Matthew sees in the various healings that Jesus performed an illustration of how Christ took upon Himself our sins. And that's the case here as well. By touching this man, Jesus was illustrating how we had come to take our sins upon Himself and to bear the penalty due to us for them. But Jesus did more. He not only touched this man, He also spoke. And what did He say? Well, Mark tells us, He says, I will, be thou cleansed. What wonderful words these are. Jesus did not say to this man, you know, you're asking for an awful lot. Let me think about it first. Nor did He set forth any conditions that the man had to fulfill, like Naaman, who had to wash himself 7 times in the Jordan in order to be cleansed. He simply looked at him and He said, I will, be thou cleansed. And he was. And we read in our text chapter, verse 42, and as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. The leprosy left him. And he was cleansed in an instant. Immediately, Mark says, it wasn't the case that this man was healed gradually or even partially. No, he was completely and totally cleansed. Right there and then. Every part of his body was completely free of leprosy. Oh, we're reminded here, aren't we, of Jesus' great willingness and ability and power to save. Puritan Matthew Henry writes this. He says, "They who by faith apply themselves to Christ for mercy and grace may be sure that he is willing, freely willing, to give them the mercy and grace they come to him for." Christ, he says further, is a physician that does not need to be sought for. He is always in the way. He doesn't need to be urged. While we are yet speaking, he hears. He does not need to be fed, for he heals freely, not for price or reward. He has given all possible demonstration that he is as willing as he is able to save sinners. Oh, my friend, what an encouragement we have here to come to Christ. Not only is Christ able to save, but he is also willing. The man said to Jesus, "If thou art willing," and Jesus said, without skipping a beat, "I am willing." Oh, yes, Jesus is also sovereign. He will save whom he chooses to save and when he chooses to save them. But those who come to him as lost, undone sinners have every reason to expect that he will hear and answer them. For this is why he came. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so Jesus showed mercy to this leper. But he expected something from him in return as well. And that brings us to our fourth and final point. Our Lord had just performed a great miracle. In an instant, this man who was full of leprosy was made completely whole. But before letting him go, Jesus issued a stern command. First of all, he told him he was not to tell anyone what he had done for him. Now, at first glance, that appears rather strange. One might think that after performing such a great miracle, that Jesus would have wanted this man to tell the whole world in the hope that many more might believe on him. But Jesus says no. He strictly charged him not to say anything to anyone. Why? Well, probably because Jesus did not want to be known simply as a miracle worker. He wanted men to come to him not only for physical healing, but for spiritual healing. What is more, remember, Jesus had just begun his earthly ministry. He did not want to become too popular too soon. He still had much work to do and many things he had to teach the people. And so he commanded this man to keep quiet. Secondly, he commanded him to go and show himself to the priest and to offer a sacrifice. Now, why did he say that? Well, first of all, because that is what was required by the law of Moses. And so in commanding this man to go and show himself to the priest, Jesus was demonstrating that he had not come to destroy the law, but rather to fulfill it. But also the man's healing was to serve, Jesus says, as a testimony to them. The reference here, of course, is to the priest. This man's healing was to be a testimony to the priests. Now you say, a testimony to what? Well, a testimony that Jesus is who he says he was, the Son of God, the promised Messiah, for only the Son of God could perform such a miracle. Now, there's something wonderful about that in and of itself, isn't it? In a few years' time, these same priests would be the ones who would pay Judas 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus so that they could place him under arrest and bring him to trial. But before that happened, Jesus wanted them to realize who he was so that they too might come to believe on his name. Oh, you see how great is the love of Christ, even for his enemies. So the Lord strictly warned this man not to tell anyone. What is more, he expected him to obey. And why should he not? The Lord had cleansed this man of his leprosy. Why should he not obey? But sadly, we read further that this man did not obey Jesus. Mark tells us that he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. It's a reminder to us, isn't it, that even if the Lord has had dealings with our souls, we remain sinners. And this man is a case in point. He had been healed by Christ, but he did not obey Christ. He went his own way and he did his own thing. And as a result of this, he greatly hindered the work of the Lord. For we read in verse 45 that as a result of this man's disobedience, Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was outside in desert places. Jesus could no longer openly enter the city. He had to remain outside in the wilderness, in places where there were very few inhabitants. That's very sad. Sad because there were many more people who needed to be healed by Jesus. And there were many more people who needed to hear his teaching and to come to faith and repentance in him. But they were not able. Because of this man's sin, Jesus had to withdraw, albeit temporarily. Thankfully, however, the Lord's work cannot and will not be stopped, not even by our own failure to obey. And it wasn't stopped in this case either, for at the end of verse 45, Mark tells us that they came to him from every quarter. Jesus had to remain outside the towns and cities of Galilee for a time, but the people kept on coming. They didn't wait for him to come to them, but they came to him. And so what initially proved to be a great setback ended up being a great triumph. And the work of the Lord would go on. And all whom the Father had given to the Son would come to him. And many would believe on his name and acknowledge him for who he really was, the promised Messiah of God. Well, my friends, what about you today? Having heard of this great miracle, of Jesus cleansing this leper, what is your response to these things? Will you also come to him? Will you also believe on his name? Will you also come to Jesus, kneeling before him, asking him, Lord, if thou art willing, thou canst make me clean? Oh, this is the cry that the Lord loves to hear. And those who come to him like this man, he will most surely save and heal and restore. Do not say I am too sinful. Do not say that my condition is too serious. My friends, if Jesus was able and willing to have dealings with this leper, a man who was covered with leprosy, then he is most certainly able and willing to have dealings with you as well. And therefore I say to you, come to him. Believe on his name, and you too shall be cleansed. Amen. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you have heard today, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Leman Road. Leman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. That's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Leman Road, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit the donation section of our webpage. Thank you for listening. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.